212. Yeah. What is up, everybody? Once again, welcome to another episode of the Banter Zone. I'm here with...
What's happening, Terry? And this is...
Simon. And we took a break last week because it was international break, and let's face it...
Nothing was going on!
Kind of sucks. Even mine, like Chile, my other national team, they played a couple friendlies for some reason. They're still not playing competitive games, and they were trash anyway. So we tied Mexico and... Or tied the U.S. and lost to Mexico. So, don't really care. Canada, big win. Mm-hmm. And then, really, that was kind of it. The week was kind of dead and kind of not.
Fire. There was no point of boring you guys, and of course, us doing anything to bore you.
Yeah.
I just want to keep the following up, so.
Exactly. So, on this episode, Harry, what do you figure?
Well, today, it's a great thing. We're going to talk about El Clasico. There was a little match that happened earlier, or I guess...
A private event,
a private session that happened on the weekend. We're also going to talk about the kit reveal that is happening this week for all the teams in the league. Canada Women's, we're going to talk about their squad. That is looking tight. Premier Champions League. We'll get into some Bundesliga with Dylan. And then we're going to talk about Keeper down in Valor. Some cool things that happened there. And then we're going to finish off our predictions here from the attacking side of the squads in the CPL. So a full show, lots to talk about. Let's get her started.
Might as well. Let's get right on it. So this weekend, El Clasico, closed-door event. We did a little highlight reel.
Yep.
Whether we were allowed to or not, I don't know.
Ah, come on, it was a private event.
It was a definitely. Private event, and it was a preseason. It was, I don't know if it was unsanctioned or whatever, but it was a great kind of precursor to what is going to happen.
Yeah, what to expect, especially with the season.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say, but you think about an Edmonton rival, Calgary-Edmonton rivalry, doesn't matter what sport it is, it could be footy, which is about to happen. Canadian football, you're going to talk about hockey. It's a chippy thing, and it was great.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the rivalries, I guess maybe because we're in such close vicinity that rival was always kind of, has always been there. And then you see it now on the soccer side, and it definitely relayed on the field within the players. And a lot of them, like, you see some guys that don't really know each other, guys that are virtually unknown to a lot of us because we've seen them in highlight reel videos, and some of them, you know, that we've seen close hand, but for the majority, we don't really know them. So, you know, in my eyes, I like that the precursor and like the physicality behind it, and then the guys trying to find their feet. FC Edmonton was down a couple guys with some knocks.
Five due to whatever reasons.
Yeah, some of them were knocks. Some of them were, you know, maybe the guys not quite here and ready yet to play. But
well, you got to think about it. Some of these guys are international players, so to catch their legs, beat any kind of, I guess, what is it, jet lag?
Yeah, that's a tough one. But we don't realize it because we live here, but to play at altitude.
In
the cold and dry.
Yes.
And that's going to be a tough one, I think, for a lot of the teams and a lot of these players. Like Dominic Malonga just showed up, was not even here half a week, wanted to get in minutes. I ended up wanting to go on earlier than was expected from what we heard.
Yeah.
So he got some good minutes in. He looked good. I mean, that's the one thing. And it's not to take away anything from the boys playing at a PDL level.
Correct.
Or anything like that. But the caliber, the quality of the passes and the balls and the movement and everything was just like...
It was great. It was good to see.
Turn that knob, just kind of cranked it up a little bit.
Well, it's funny because we were at that game. And I know previously it was at the office, but we were talking about a little bit of MLS highlights that did come across. I know I caught a little bit that day. You did as well. And then watching just that quick friendly, it was a big difference.
Is it that I'm that biased on my opinion on not liking the MLS that makes me see that? So then I got my wife to, I'm like, watch, count how many times they make three passes in an MLS game. It was the TFC, not the TFC game. I can't remember who was playing again.
Don't worry about it. It's not important. Care. Yeah,
irrelevant. Just scrambly and balls going off of shins. And like, it was just, not that it happens all the time, obviously. But I like in tight spaces. I like guys that can actually play with the ball at their feet.
Correct.
Guys
which
that
we
have
did
a bit
see.
Of skill. And we saw that, yeah, out of Calgary, out of FC Edmonton. FC Edmonton with some youngsters. Showed a lot of quality. The youngest guy on the field was 15 years old. He is, last name Brathwaite. I can't remember his first name. But he is a U17 Canada Plays on UC. He's a big boy too. He kind of makes me look, not that that's hard to make me look small, but he's for 15 years old.
Definitely doesn't.
He's 15, all right? He shouldn't be that much bigger than me already. Yeah, I don't know. Your thoughts, your takeaways on the El Clasico. It was nice that we both got to sit there, and thanks to Dylan for filming most of it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We actually got to watch it and kind of see where the players were sitting, and it was just, you know, great to see.
Yeah, well, kind of some takeaways I definitely did, brought in to myself after watching that was how chippy these games are. Not, you know, going back to it, realizing that it is two Alberta teams, so the rivalry is already there. That we did see, I don't want to use the word hatred, but we did see, what's the word I'm looking for? We saw a push from both sides, and we saw the emotion, like the raw emotion from these players coming out, yeah. Which was crazy. But the passes were great. The goals were good. Don't get me wrong, will there be more finesse in the games for days to come? Yeah. But from what I saw right there and then, not knowing that both sides didn't have the full squads, were missing players due to any other kind of incidents. But besides that, my takeaway was it was good to see it. It was good to look back at one point and actually see people in the stands. I get it was played at St., so there's a lot of people at St. watching, but at the same time, there were parents there. We ran into a couple. We talked to a couple of them. But it's good to see.
Told us that the Bundesliga was too short sometimes, yeah. But... we'll give that to Dylan.
Yeah.
But
it was good. It was a good takeaway. I'm glad that we were able to experience that.
Yeah, I mean, and on that same note, it ended up, it's a couple cards. Son Heung-chan ended up with a red card on two yellows. Nothing overly malicious. They were just...
I don't think it should have been a red card.
No.
I think it was the lips that were like...
Yeah, it almost... it was hard to hear, but you could see... I mean, there was a lot of chatter to me. Some of the guys just trying to get at each other. But it was overall great to see... And just tease up the first El Clasicos in May, so middle of May or closer to the end of May there, so fantastic to see.
We did talk to a couple players, was there one player and or two players?
And we tried to grab a couple players, but it was starting a little breezy, and they all ducked inside to go shower. Cavalry with the win, they were going out for a nice team dinner.
Yeah.
So we were able to catch Ajay Cabra. We'll be putting that interview up. Probably in the next couple days or so we'll be releasing that one.
Short, simple, easy, but...
Yeah. But yeah, everybody was impressed. Everyone was happy. And you just see the best part, I don't know, I would say to stay really on the El Clasico. But the best part of what I like most is just being able to see some guys that hadn't really gotten a chance to be anywhere. Local guys, Calgarians, Edmontonians. Guys that just... didn't get the shot to go anywhere or to go overseas or just didn't have it to do it.
And or even watching players that did have the opportunity to go overseas or, you know, stay local within Canada. It doesn't matter if it's playing for MLS or another team. So,
yeah, it's just great to see that Canadian players coming out of the woodworks and like, holy shit, we got some pretty talented ballers in Canada.
Yeah,
so
we do.
Respect to all the Canadian boys showing their worth against these internationals and some of them. Maybe some of them haven't played in a couple of years, but some of them have played in high levels and top levels, and our Canadian boys are going shoulder to shoulder, toe to toe with these boys. So,
well, depending on who you're talking about, if you're talking about the captain of the game for Calgary that day, which was Nick Ledgerwood, he was up there talking to some of the guys straight in the face, and you're talking shoulder to shoulder, their shoulders are up here, and Nick's head was out here, but it was funny just watching Nick. I love Gramps. Gramps was awesome. Like, he was very vocal that day.
Kareem Moses, big boy. Big boy for center back for Edmonton. He's gonna be. That was your pick for
there was a reason.
Defender.
I know I saw it.
You just see him. He's just gonna be tough to get around. He's a wall. But Nick, that didn't faze him. He was right in there chirping, talking.
He looked at home. It was good. It was good to see.
It was awesome. But the next thing, I guess we've all like chomping at the bit, waiting for something to happen. So the El Clasico gave us like a glimpse. And like at least kind of just to shut us up for like a couple days and then thank the soccer gods that at least we'll get some more news out of the CPL. Kit reveal,
yeah.
So April 4th, finally dates have been set.
Thursday, be ready for it.
So it looks like everything is going to be done kind of behind like closed doors. I don't know if it's a fashion show I heard or what it was going to be, but they're going to release 14 original kits. Club apparel, maybe some of the boys running on the catwalk maybe, but everything's gonna be done through the Center Circle app, so the hub for the CPL.
Two questions for you. Who do you believe is going to have the nicest looking, flashiest kits? What team do you believe that?
Wait,
team?
Nicest looking or flashy could be two.
Okay, let's go.
Different things.
Best looking kit. Best looking kit.
Best looking kit. I'm not even going to blink twice at this one, and I'm going to say Pacific. I just have a feeling that Pacific is going to, just the way they are, look at their store, look at the apparel. I got to say Pacific's probably going to have the best.
And let's go to Plain Jane. Who do you believe is going to have the most Plain Jane?
Valor!
You think so?
I think Valor's going to be the plainest.
I disagree.
I know who you're going to pick.
Who?
Calgary.
Oh, actually Edmonton.
I Edmonton, that was kind of close, but I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because of the maroon colors. I find the maroon not my favorite color for kits. That one's purple, my Scunthorpe United.
Barney
kit.
Just give you like, yeah. Scare the crap out of you when you were a child? Just give you the nightmare?
I don't like purple. But I don't know. Yeah, I would say Pacific for top and then bottom. I'd have to go Valor, what about you? Number one.
Just hating on the East Coast, I see.
Not at all.
Anyways.
I just said, I just think Winnipeg's is going to be blah. Not blah, but like not as nice.
They're going to stick out when the season gets into the fall and it starts to snow.
So they're going to be nice.
We'll see their kits.
Fall, nice fall colors. Valor's got fall colors.
Nah, that's awesome. I can't wait. It's going to be interesting.
What's your top?
Top what?
Pick for a kit.
For kit? I was actually thinking York 9.
I think theirs is going to be the flash. See, this is where that flashy and nice is. I think York 9 is going to be the flashiest because of the lime. They're going to be lime green, and I just assume they're going to be lime because of all their colors.
That's my assumption. Yeah. I was like, yeah!
That one's going to, I think that's going to look sick, too. I think they're all going to look good, to be honest. I think Halifax is going to put out something, class. Yeah. I think Halifax is going to be like the classiest of the jerseys. Watch, they all look the same.
I know, it's like
just different color.
Going to gym class and getting a penny.
Yeah, pretty much. Here you go.
There's your name, purple, there's your number.
Purple, yeah. Yellow, red.
I hope it doesn't end up like that, but I think Calgary, I know Edmonton, I believe Edmonton's going to be one of the Plain Jane jerseys, and I'm going to say Calgary in a second, so.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, you could almost suspect that from Calgary looking at their colors, and then they're not flashy by any means, whereas York and Vic, they got that flash to them.
You got no choice. You want to be a baller? Okay, anyway.
He criticized people hating on the East. Harry's always hating on Cavalry, and it's in our own damn city.
I don't hate on him.
He's going to blacklist us.
Sooner or later, they're going to be like, no like content.
Simon, we're done working with CFL, thanks. Wait, what? What just happened?
It's no hatred.
It's all love.
Let's get into women's soccer. Get through their squad.
So, women's national team announced their squad for Friday's warm-up match against England. It's Friday, right? April 5th.
April 5th, which is a Friday. Correct.
Yeah. 23-man roster. They still put men in here, shouldn't it be? Well, 23-player roster.
Just making stuff up. Reading the CPL stuff. Just making stuff up.
Just trying to pick fights.
Wondering who's actually going to kick us off this show.
Not me. Do we need to go back? Do we really need to go there and pull up historical events?
What are the big names on there? Probably two big names.
Well, Cincy.
Of course.
And then, why not, like, soft spot, Steph Labbe.
Yeah. So you can't really hate on that girl.
Not at all. Great keeper. She should be starting, but her and Aaron McLeod as keepers. D'Angelo Chapman, Lawrence Agnew, Hallstrom, Riviere, 17-year-old from Markham, so she's one of the young ones. Gillis, Buchanan, Zdorsky, Waller, Grosso is 18 years old from Vancouver, playing at the University of Texas at Austin. Scott, Fleming, Schmidt, Carly, 20 years old. Jordan Huitema, of course, she's always one to watch, 17-year-old, at Chilliwack. And
a lot of burst, a lot of speed.
Yeah, she's quality. Like, she's going to be the next Sinclair, I think. She's got a bit more skill to her.
Yeah.
Since he's big, like, she's got the size to her, and she can put the ball in the back of the net.
That's old school footy, right? Like, this, we're talking about new school.
That's almost like the same as you compare the men. And like, the old school English was like a little bit bigger, a little bit tougher.
Stocky.
Yeah. And she's just a workhorse like that too. Since
fit. What else are you going to say?
Yeah, right? Haitema's just like, she has a quality, bit of quality in her feet. great presence. Of course, Captain Cincy, Jane Becky, and then Leon. And that pretty much rounds out the squad.
What are your predictions for that game?
Against England? England is like the program. In my eyes, I would say England is the program to beat.
Okay.
I think they're the ones that are, I would almost put them at winning the World Cup. So.
And score prediction for this friendly?
3-1.
3-1? Wow, it was close. I was going to say 3-0, but...
Oh. Yeah, so...
No hatred against the Canadians in any kind of sense, but...
No, I just think we're like we're in a bit of a transition
With theirs. But you just see the quality that does come from Europe. You see how these camps and everything's run.
And another one, like you like point adding to that, you know, we got a lot that are playing in the NWSL in the States. And it's a good league, don't get me wrong, like it's a really good league and a lot of quality. But England, you know, you got girls that are playing, our best players are the ones that are playing in the women's super leagues in the States or in the UK stuff like that. So like Becky at Man City, Lawrence is at PSG, so those are the players that are better, and you see the quality in them a little bit better. Right. England has a team full of those, right?
Obviously, it's good to see the support as well. Sorry to cut you off, but it's good to see the support by, you know, the women out there that are understanding that, you know what, there's a big opening and a big opportunity. So there's a lot of young people playing. We can still see the stands filling up. We see the support from different from the fan base as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. May 18th would be their send-off game that they play against Mexico. That's right before they head off to France. And then we launch the campaign against Cameroon on June 10th. And the second one is New Zealand. That's also June 15th. And then Netherlands on June 20th.
Perfect.
So that's pretty much
a lot going on for that.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Lots of good coverage is going to happen with the Women's World Cup. The one thing, did you see with the women's, that there's a company, Clif Bar.
Yes.
And they have another subsidiary of it. That company decided to throw money at the women's, the U.S. women's national team. They were getting undercut, obviously, like making $30,000 a piece or something. I can't remember what the salary was. But the issue, these guys went and stepped up and said, you know what? Well, the women deserve better and they deserve more money. So we're going to cut your check for $700K. An extra $30K for each player. I think that's class.
That is class. You think about it, if you see the support, that's huge.
Nike Adidas stepped up and said they're matching the men's for sponsorships for the women's soccer, which is strategic, obviously, because coming right into the World Cup. So for them as a marketing stand, it does make sense for them to do it now, but as long as they maintain it, which is the biggest thing. Right?
I agree. There's no disagreements on that.
But that's really the wrap on the women's, so best of luck, ladies leading into the World Cup. Obviously, we're going to be doing some shows and talking about them.
Good luck. If you have any input on them, please drop it down below.
Yeah, let us know what you think. I guess on the local front, maybe the women's Foothills UWS. So they're about to kick off their campaign in the end of May. We'll get more into that as May comes around. Men's Foothills are about to start dropping the rosters and the squads, and looks like the teams have been formed. Now waiting to hear on who's actually inked those deals. Might we see some guys that were playing up in the Cavalry going to play for that U23 squad?
I think you will.
I think so too. There's some guys in there that I expect to make that move, and some guys that I didn't expect that will be there. But either way, Foothills should have another quality squad, I think, this year. Obviously, the loss of Nick Ledgerwood and those guys moving up is massive, but now we see. So USL League 2 is always a tough league in the Northwest, playing against Timbers and Sounders and those guys. So
massive. Keep supporting local, that's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Get out there, understand what's going on. We'll keep you in the loop.
Yeah. AMSL, we're going to be working, hopefully, with doing some stuff with them as well. The Alberta Major. And that kicks off in May, so stay tuned for more info, more news on that as well. And on the local front, that pretty much covers it up.
That's cool with me. What else we got? We got what? Some Premier League. We got some
Champions
Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to jump into? You want to do Premier League?
And here I'm gonna hit you with a question because we talked about it a couple times.
Okay, I'm ready for it then.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah.
Locks in his deal.
Correct.
3 years.
Correct.
What do you think?
Amazing.
Always at the wheel.
Were you expecting something different to come out of my mouth for that?
Yeah, because you were like, no, he wasn't going to get it. Well, you said like a year short. I said minimum two.
The 3 years is good. Because I'm not saying in 3 years they're going to let him go. But they do have that opportunity after first season, second season, things are going the way they want. They do have that ability to actually buy out that contract and say, see you later.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's something to worry about. I believe this is a building block for Manchester United. And it's just going to put them on a different, I guess, move them up the table next season.
Yeah, do you think that now that they're going to maybe, you know, with Mourinho, they didn't really give him a whole lot of freedom to go and buy players? So you'd hope that they're going to, obviously, you just
anticipate. Yeah, but Mourinho was a doofus, so
yeah, he kind of was, right? And he just, yeah, the style didn't work. It just didn't look good.
Clothing style, his player style.
Yeah, it's boring.
But he's boring.
It was boring. It was boring. Like, park the bus, football is boring, and that's not Man United's football, and that's why it didn't work in the academy.
No.
Academy's been training one way for how many decades? And all of a sudden you implement it? No, it's not going to work. So bringing in Ole knows everything, brought Mike Fallon back in. Obviously, you see the quality, and we don't need to talk about that anymore. Tied for fourth place, Tottenham's ahead of us on goal differential. 61 points there, tied. Liverpool's ahead right now by a couple points, but City does have a game in hand.
I don't want to say, but I hope Liverpool stays on top of that.
Well, I don't know why you want Liverpool. Because
I'm done with Man City. There's nobody else under those top two teams that will make it to the top.
Yeah, but I'd rather watch, like, Watford win the league over, like, Liverpool.
Where we are sitting now, I'm talking about.
I don't want Liverpool to win.
Who else can
nobody. It's just City.
Okay, so we got either Man City or we got Liverpool.
So it's two teams that are rivals. One of them has been a rival for way longer because it's been more relevant. City was always second division. But City's
still second. No, they're like last in my heart. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, but they're still got a game in hand and they're down. So if they win, they're finished.
So what you're saying, you want Man City to win?
Over Liverpool? Yeah, because Liverpool still hasn't won a Premier League. And I don't want them to do it. Because you know how much we're going to have to listen to Liverpool fans talk about them winning?
Cool, talk about it. As long as you want Liverpool fans. You had a great year in Champions League. You had a great year this year in Premier League. But guess what? Next season is a different season.
I apologize to Man United supporters because Harry's...
Here we go.
As a United supporter, you don't wish Liverpool to win nothing. Liverpool to lose everything. That's the only thing that Liverpool should be doing. And it's the same thing Liverpool fans expect of United. So I'm kind of disappointed in you. I thought we were better friends than that. I don't even want to do the show anymore.
I disagree, so. I do not want to see Man City win another one.
Of course, I'd rather not. I'd rather not see them win it. But I'd rather see that. If it was, like, for me, the two evils... City's on a high, they're probably going to win it. I'd rather not see Liverpool just so they can shut up. And then next year, hopefully, we'll have a better team and finish above Liverpool. And we can still laugh at them about not winning the Premier League.
But that'd be the best thing. Or whatever. Okay, done with this conversation. Done with this conversation. You're starting to get upset.
Don't know what to talk. Don't even want to talk about it anymore. And well, let's get more upset then, because United and United played Wolves today. That was great.
Yeah, they just skidded by last week if you didn't watch that game.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve to win, but we did. And again, this week, we deserved.
And we got what we deserved this time. Red card and a loss. 2-1.
So horrible.
It was, yeah, just not looking good. It just didn't look good today, the game.
Yeah, Wolves got our numbers, though.
Like, yeah, I know. It's like they've been our kryptonite this year for some reason. So we beat them, but they should have beat us. They beat us already once.
Yeah.
And then now again, so fantastic. Thanks, Wolves, once again, for pooping on our party.
Yeah, no doubt.
We just want to get in the Champions League. That's it. We don't want anything. We just want Champions League again. Jesus.
Well, since we're talking about Champions League, let's get into it then. Well.
Obviously, everyone remembers what happened last week, and we'll keep remembering that one night in Paris.
Sorry, I was just still reminiscing about that. I was like, yes!
Yeah, so it was just too good. And then here, you know, this is where it kind of gets a little bit more interesting because there's eight teams left.
Eight teams left.
In the quarterfinals. So we got Tottenham and City. And that one is in Tottenham. Finally going to be in their new stadium. Looks like they're moving in tomorrow. I don't know if they didn't play today. They move into the new stadium finally after like a year delay. Tottenham's finally getting their stadium back.
Their stadium.
But
okay, so we got Tottenham versus City.
See, tomorrow Tottenham. So if you want to see what Tottenham's new stadium looks like, you'll be able to see it tomorrow.
When I say City, it's Crystal. Tottenham Crystal.
No, you're Tottenham City. You're right. We switched. I switched back to Premier League game tomorrow.
Easily confused.
No. Wait a second here. Obviously, this game isn't happening.
No.
Because that's tomorrow, 12:45. But also, they play. That's on the 10th. No, we're right. Wow. Okay. We're just... Our dates are all out of whack here.
Anyways, we'll get back to it.
So in a week, not tomorrow, Tottenham will play against City in Tottenham's new stadium.
Liverpool, Porto.
Ajax and Juve. And then we got...
United. Ajax or Ajax? I call them Ajax.
Well, that's because you're white. Like, if you are very English, your talking is very Canadian-ish.
Ajax.
Well, they would say it. You're, embrace other cultures.
I do.
Ajax.
I eat tacos, I eat hot dogs, I eat popsicles. Popsicles are really...
Culture, so you just go back to you being white and eating hot dogs. I love hot dogs. Me too. Hot dogs are delicious. We eat a lot of hot dogs and chili too. Ajax, because they're Dutch and that's how they speak in Holland. So we just... I know, it's kind of a habit. Because I'm Spanish, I feel like if I say a team from another country, like, wrong, then I feel like I'm letting my people down.
You already have.
But then I go to No, what do you mean? How would I let them down? I'm like perfect height in my country. And you come to my country, everyone's gonna make fun of you because you'd be a tall black guy.
So
not so funny when you're on the other end. We're on the other end of it.
But then we got Man U versus Barca.
So we'll go
predictions
for the first one in Tottenham versus City. In Tottenham.
I'm going with Tottenham to win this one. I'm going to go for a 2-1 final.
League one. I'm going to go... I have a feeling it's going to be like a 2-2 draw.
Woo!
I'm going to draw that one. Leg one draw between Tottenham and City.
2-1, Tottenham.
Liverpool, Porto in Liverpool.
Oh, here we go. I'm going to get torn apart for this game, but I'm going for Liverpool, and I'm going for a 1-0 final. As much as you think this might be a lot more goals, I'm going with 1-0.
1-0, hey, that's it. I'm going to go, I think, 3-0, Liverpool. I just think that Liverpool is going to walk through Porto in their own.
And that's what everybody's expecting, is for Liverpool to walk through Porto, and Liverpool's going to be caught flat-footed, because it's not only their fans, it's also their players that are also going to get that in the back of their mind.
We'll see. So Harry says 1-0, Liverpool. I got 3-0. So let's see how wrong both of us are going to be.
Juventus versus Ajax.
Juventus versus Ajax.
That's a Juve game. We all know this is a Juve win. There's no way.
It's in Ajax. You know what? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt here, and I'm going to say they're going to pull one out, and it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
I try to pull one out, and I'm going to go with, you know what? 2-0 final. Juventus.
2-0 Juve? 2-0 Juve, 1-1, because I think, I don't know, my prediction, just because they're in Ajax and the young guys are going to get a bit of momentum and steam and give it to them.
Manu Barca, answer this. Don't think.
1-0 United.
What?
At home. Second leg is going to be a way different game. That's going to be 3-0 Barca.
I'm going 2-0 Barca over Manu.
In leg one. I wouldn't be surprised, obviously not, would not be surprised by it. I'm just trying to be a little bit optimistic here and say that.
Supposedly I'm never the optimistic guy for any team out there.
Not for, well, there's not our own, just everybody else's. You love Liverpool apparently, so. So somebody get Harry a Liverpool jersey.
Read this, eh?
Oh.
Yeah, you like that one, right?
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, let's get off of this.
Yeah, no, but like, that's... we're never going to...
I got a better idea. We're going to continue this discussion. We're going to send it over to Dylan. Dylan, take her over.
Hello, and welcome to the Bundesliga Report here on the Banter Zone. My name is Dylan Dodge, and let's just jump into the international break, actually, which, obviously, there was no Bundesliga last week, so no Bundesliga report. And after a lucky draw against Serbia. I wasn't too confident, but you know, there was lots of great things that happened in that game against Holland for Germany. There was a beautiful tribute to Thomas Müller, Mats Hummels, and Jerome Boateng, the fans thanking them for their service. We had a really good first half. Manuel Neuer bailed us out in the second half, which was a pleasant surprise, and somewhat silenced those calling for Ter Stegen to play. And Nico Schulz, of all people, scoring the winner. Marco Reus coming in for just 5 minutes and making a difference. What? Obviously, there's still a lot of things to fix. I'm not one of those fans that roller coasters up and down, but I think the defense needed to get sorted out. You know, Löw's tactics in the second half were easily overturned by Holland, so we'll see. But I really think that there is hopefully a positive direction this team is going. And woo! Speaking of positive directions, Borussia Dortmund and the Bundesliga. Let's talk about it. So match day 27 was an absolute beauty if you are a Borussia fan. And it sets up a really interesting Der Klassiker this week. So definitely check out Der Klassiker because it's going to basically, in my opinion, decide the league. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about the game. The fans greeting the players with a beautiful tifo, one of the best I've ever seen. Dortmund's had some good ones in the past, but this one was truly spectacular. And I know Simon, and I'm sure you even, Harry, would agree that it is one of the best out there. It essentially said, "I go to the games with my father as he did his father." And it's definitely beautiful, putting the beauty in the beautiful game. There was not much beauty on the pitch, though, until who else but Paco Alcacer scoring two in injury time as Dortmund avoid dropping points. It was absolutely stupendous play from Paco Alcacer, who's just proving to be a super sub. And how many goals in stoppage time has this guy scored? He seems to be a master of the 90-plus minute goals. And unfortunately for Bayern fans, despite putting 27 shots on target, Lewandowski was the only one to find the back of the net as they drew 1-1 with Freiburg. That's what I'm talking about. There's a few of those tricky teams that can really take points off of anyone in the Bundesliga. And Bayern have dropped some serious points this year to a lot of opposition that I'm sure their fans think they should be beating. And another upset, Borussia Mönchengladbach fall 3-1 to Dusseldorf. So Dusseldorf has taken points off Dortmund, they've taken points off Bayern, and they've taken points off of Mönchengladbach. What a plucky underdog that Fortuna Dusseldorf has turned into this season. The table now looks like this. 2 points separate Borussia and their Bavarian rivals, while Leipzig have a 3-point lead on Eintracht Frankfurt, Mönchengladbach, and Werder Bremen round out the top six. It's too bad I have a soft spot for this team, but Hannover 96, bottom of the table, they've lost 5 out of their last 5. Nuremberg, also in a relegation spot, and Stuttgart in a relegation playoff spot. So, as I mentioned before, Der Klassiker happening at Allianz Arena next week is going to be a huge decider on who's going to win the league. Obviously, if Bayern win, they will leapfrog Borussia, and if Borussia Dortmund win, that'll put some huge distance between them and their Bavarian rivals, and they'll just really have to coast for the rest of this season and hopefully close out a title interrupting Bayern's however many straight. 6, 7, 8, we've all lost count. The rest of the world, except for Bavaria, are cheering for Dortmund. They do not want Bayern München to win again. People have a soft spot for the underdog. But if you're a betting man, they're saying there's a 63% chance of a Bayern win, 20% chance of a draw, and a 17% chance of a Dortmund win. That's it for the Bundesliga Report. Thank you for tuning in. And back to you, Simon and Harry.
Seriously? What are you talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about.
You know what? We're back.
Let's just.
Yeah, we're done. Let's just move right.
Talk about it.
Move right past.
No more.
Move right past it. Thanks, Dylan. Once again, nailed it.
Let's go to something funny, okay? Because I feel like there's a lot of tension right now.
We gotta come home. Let's just bring this home now. Let's bring the show.
Bring it back. Bring it back a bit.
Bring the show.
Let's jump to a keeper. This is funny for me because I used to play keeper. I was horrible. I actually did Sarah Butterfly several times and let a few goals go. Okay? It happens.
This was at 22 years old.
They were bigger butterflies then. Okay. Let's talk about it. Okay, so something was released on the CanPL site, how keepers live in their own world. I found this extremely funny because I was able to relate it to myself.
It's extremely correct.
It is.
Keepers are definitely a different breed.
Yeah.
Spending time with some of the Foothills guys, Marco Carducci, Jordan Santiago, and those guys when we were in England, some of the stuff that they do together.
That's the best part. It's like a lot of people don't realize this, and reading this article today, I was like, this makes sense. Because I can remember And if you want to go back, please read this whole thing on the CanPL site. But they talk about how the keepers can sit in the dressing room by themselves and keep themselves busy. I can still do that.
That's very true.
So this really relates to me, and I thought it was hilarious. But, you know, I'm going to quote Rob Gale here. Rob Gale is the GM and the head coach for, drawing a blank right now? For Valor. Wow, Harry had an issue there. Same thing as
warning.
Overload. But Rob Gale put this out there. Goalies, they put their face and their hands where others put their boots. So it makes sense. There are keepers out there that if you play keeper, like, good on you. That's an amazing position to play. Ball's coming at your face. Like, you're slide tackling. You're jumping. You're doing what you have to do acrobatically to stop these balls.
Yeah.
And you have to put your body in front of it.
Harry is definitely taking lots of balls to the face. More in this area than anywhere. But, yeah, no, like in any sport, whether you're a hockey goalie or soccer, whatever, you gotta be a little crazy. Imagine hockey, like, you got pucks coming at you at 100 miles an hour. Coming right
soccer
for your head sometimes.
Same thing,
soccer balls, they hurt, man. Especially a little bit of cold weather.
Oh.
Get hit with that ball at that speed.
Fun.
No, not at all.
No,
yeah.
Not at all.
That's definitely ballsy.
But, you know, I don't know if I dropped his name, but it was Matthias Janssen. Who is the keeper there, and you know what, he did make a comment back, and he did say, I always heard about it, but never understood. It does take a lot. It does take a lot for a lot of people to realize that if you play in that role. Even myself, I just realized what this means now. but it's true, though. I think it's a great thing. Like, Yeah,
Janssen spent last year playing for Royal Lillevoort in Belgian third division. He did spend 2 years on the reserve team of Waasland Beveren of the Belgian Pro League. So a product of Brussels, Belgian national team program for U15, 16, and 19. So, quality keeper there.
And moments where I was like, playing into it, I remember sitting in the dressing room and I was like, okay, sorry.
Yeah, Harry's both sides of it. So being Harry was keeper and a center back, a defender.
There was a reason why they put me back center back, because I actually paid attention a lot more than when I was a keeper.
So used to getting kicked, used to getting stomped on all the time by guys like, I was a striker, so guys like me. And Chileans were kind of the worst for it. Well,
yeah.
No, I'm not going to get there. I'm still going to put my cleats through it. It's a little dirty, a little Sunday
think about
and
it,
stuff.
Like, what was one of our latest interviews we did? We did with Marco Carducci. You think about Marco Carducci. Remember right before, and Marco, this is no hit against you or anybody else, but you think about it, because I realize and I see it. Like, before the interview started, Marco was doing his own thing at Rail Yard and just kind of...
But I would say Marco is probably one of the more normal goalies I've met in my life.
I believe he puts on a persona.
No, because I've seen him outside and behind and spending like 15 days in England. You'd see some craziness. But like, look at Nico Giannopoulos from Calgary. Like, the stuff he did with that, kicking the ball off from the penalty. Like, to have that presence of mind to do something like that. And if he watches...
But think about it. There's some games you sit back and there's like 5 attempts. What do you do the rest of the time? You start yelling at your players, trying to keep yourself in the game, trying to keep everybody else going.
Talking to your goalposts.
Yeah.
Yeah. See some great kick in the grass, like combing the grass on the field.
Putting your water bottles in weird places so you don't know when the striker's coming in. He's either going to look at the water bottle, you know.
Yeah.
Just some refs come by and go, hey, move that. And you're like,
what?
I didn't realize it. Like,
oh, sorry. Yeah. Delay in the game on purpose. Jerks. But yeah, keepers are crazy. Different breed.
You want anything else to add about that?
No, I think we covered everything on the level of the...
What do you think about it? Should we just jump into the projections now? This is a long part of almost every episode that we go through.
Yeah.
If you watched a few episodes back, we did go through the defending side of stuff.
Yeah. So CanPL.ca, in case you're unaware of it, they released their top 5 players in each position on the field. We already went the kind of 5 in the backfield, or 5 or 6 in the backfield, however that many that was.
5, 6.
Five.
Because keeping
one,
the
two,
keep
three,
it.
4, 5.
5 and 5 in the front, yeah. So that's 10 players.
Yeah.
Duh, easy math, right?
Yeah. Wait a second. Missing a player. No. So 10 positions.
So we cover the first five. Let's jump into the...
We'll start at the... Yeah, so we'll go from the center midfielders. Is that where you're at? Center, or are you attacking mid?
I was going to go attacking mid, but let's go center. Let's do center.
Okay, so center midfielders, here's their predictions. So I'll list them off, what they thought, and then I'm just going to hit Harry with it, and he can predict. Julian Buescher from Cavalry FC, Michael Petrasso from Valor FC, Kodai Lida from the Halifax Wanderers, Dylan Carrero from Valor FC, and Manny Aparicio from York 9.
I'm going with Dylan Carrero. I believe I've talked about this player several times in past shows. I'm definitely going to stick to my guns with this guy.
I'm going to go on experience and take Petrasso. I think Petrasso's going to come out of his shell this year.
You think so?
I think he's going to have a good year. And it's like, remember we talked about Petrasso in last episode and talking about him using this as a stepping stone to get forward?
He's had a lot of appearances, but he hasn't...
Yeah, he hasn't really pushed it. I just feel like this is his... This is his...
This is now break out of the shell. This is his time.
I think Julian Buescher will show well as well, but I don't think he's... I don't think he's quite... I don't know. He has a little bit of a knock. He's had lingering a little bit from Cavalry FC, but I'm going to go Petrasso.
Yep. I'm cool with that. I'm sticking with Dylan.
Dylan Carrero from Valor FC. So good selections. Quality, both of them, obviously. All these guys are quality. And here, let's go into the attacking midfielder side of things. So we got Kyle Becker from Forge FC, Josip Golubar from Valor FC, Dylan Sacramento, also from Valor FC, Sergio Camargo from Cavs, and Tristan Borges from Forge FC. Who do you got?
I'm going to geek out a little bit here. Are you ready for this?
Oh, God.
For my attacking mid, I'm going for a 28-year-old Kyle Becker. Why, you ask? Well, he plays for Forge. He's playing in Ontario. He's born and raised Ontario boy. He is from Oakville. I am sticking with this guy. Just kind of finish off and round off my geeking, if you're okay with this. I'm just going to keep going. I don't care what you got to say. He played for Toronto FC, made 29 appearances. Third overall in 2013 MLS Super Draft. I actually didn't even realize that or remember that until today when I'm going through it. And I'm like, there's something that I'm missing about this guy. But third overall in 2013 MLS Super Draft. Played 21 games for Montreal Impact. Played for San Fran, North Carolina.
A little extra syllables in there.
Yeah. Played for Canada U23, four appearances. Canada in 2013 for 18.
Obviously a solid pick. Becker's going to come in. I think he's going to be quality.
It's paper. You don't realize what that is. People leave these ages.
I'm going to take... also, Toronto boy, but different team. Sergio Camargo, Cavalry FC.
That was a tough one. Because I did have him down originally.
And you watch him play, and you watch him. He's very tidy in his play. Very strong on the ball. Very fast and shifty. And I think he's just going to put up good numbers. And he's going to be a nuisance against anybody he plays. So I think maybe on the goal scoring side, I think Camargo is going to do better. Becker will be like a good presence on the field, and he's just going to dominate the middle of the field. Uh-huh. But I think Sergio's going to score a little bit more goals, so I'm going to go with Sergio on my pick, just because I like the flasher goal scoring. I got Camargo for that.
Remember when you said probably start talking about Calgary instead of everybody else? Biased pick. No, we did have
maybe,
an opportunity.
Maybe a little bit.
We did have an opportunity to watch him play this weekend as well, so I do see exactly where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the wingers now.
The right wing.
Issy Nakajima Farron from Pacific, Randy Edwini-Bonsu, who had a little bit of an knock, so didn't play this week in the El Clasico, Akeem Garcia, Wanderers, Kyle Porter, York 9, and Nanko Forge FC.
I'm going to let you start this one off.
This is a tough one, because right wingers, all of these guys are quality. This one's a real tough one, but I'm going to say based off of... Really, like, just a whim and a hope. I'm going to take Issy Nakajima, the man living on a boat on Vancouver Island.
You had to, like, that's okay. I respect that pick.
Yeah.
Different.
You know, they say he's quick. He's got a lot of speed, and that's what you want out of the wing. If he can play good off the shoulder, you know, if he's good at holding up the play, that's what you want out of a winger.
Yeah.
Ping the ball to him. Can he, you know, can he take a touch and hold it up?
Corral that ball, see what you can do.
And make that, make those pressing runs up the right-hand side. So I'm going to say, yeah, Nakajima Fern is going to be my pick.
I'm going to go with the archive.
I knew you were going to pick this one.
I'm not saying I didn't have a choice. I had a choice. But I'm going back in the archives here. I'm going for another older player here. I'm going for the right one. I'm going for Kyle Potter. Kyle Porter. I was like Harry Potter. Anyways, Kyle Porter is my pick for the right wing. If you don't know, 2008-2010, he was with the Whitecaps with residency. Okay? Scored 5 goals with them. Went to Germany on loan. Played with Energy Tier 2. Put in 17 goals as well. I think this is a blemish on his resume right here, where he played for Edmonton FC. played in the Atlanta for a little bit. Biggest things, I think his biggest achievement, it's not only playing and watching his resume grow, but Canada side of stuff. U17, 6 goals. U20s, 4 goals. And 7 goals in 2017 with Team Canada. So, very impressive resume once again. But Kyle Porter, my pick.
That's a solid pick. Porter's another guy that's just going to be quality, and he's a kind of a proven talent. Solid pick. Iannakko would have been a solid pick as well, just a little bit younger.
It's tough.
Garcia Young as well.
And that's what I was looking at.
Trinidad and Tobago.
That's the thing I was looking at. I was like, look at the older players, look at the younger players. But when you're playing the wing, you do definitely want to be a lot more seasoned in a way where you are going to expecting balls that should be coming to the right places, but be able to change your footing to make sure that you're able to get that ball that might not be coming to the right place, right?
Exactly, right? Yeah, and yeah, this all tough decisions and tough picks, but
I'm definitely biased on this next pick.
Really, hey? Yeah. Let's see where this comes from. So left wingers now, top 5. We got Ryan Telfer, York, Juan Diego Gutierrez, at Wanderers. We got David Chenier at Forge, Ben Fisk Pacific, and Emery Welshman, Forge FC. This one's a damn tough one for me. I could almost take 3 guys on this.
I'm just gonna screw up a little bit here, even though I have my notes. Are we even in the right place? Where am I looking at? Are we talking about left wingers right now?
Yeah.
Hit it up. I got my guy. I wrote it down.
I'm going to go with, I think Emery Welshman is going to do, I think, I don't know. That's a tough one. Welshman or, you know where you're at?
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay, I'll let you go because this one, I'm still torn between a couple of the guys, but I'll let you take this one.
Okay, this one's a little bit different. This one's, honestly, I picked this player out of far left field. I don't know why I took him. I do know why I picked this guy. But I am going for Juan Diego Gutierrez. Yes, I think I said it right. But I like this player, and the reason why I did pick him is, you look at his international play, where he has played. We see a lot of players in here from Canada. We see a lot of players that play in Europe, the US, all that other stuff. This guy's resume lives and breathes almost Peru. He's born and raised Peruvian. He's played most of his life in Peru. Watching a player like this coming to this league, for example, and, you know, as I'm talking about, like, integrating, you know, the US, integrating Europe, all that stuff, this style of play is going to be completely different than what everybody else is expecting. Mm-hmm. So I am definitely sticking with Juan.
You know, and he was, those, my, honestly, the 3 guys that I would, that I was kind of torn with was Emery Welshman, Ben Fisk, and Gutierrez. And based off that, and then that's where that, to me, he's a little bit more of an unknown, but having the caliber to have played in a country like that, played Peru, and just be, he's going to be quality.
Like, look around, he's played in Germany, he's played in Switzerland, but at the same time, his biggest as I said, going back to it, the biggest part of his resume is playing in Peru.
I'm going to agree with you on that one. I'm going to take the same one. Diego Gutierrez. Juan Gutierrez, he's quality.
You should put like a clock or whatever they call it, or like a counter every time you say it right.
Or every time we see, yeah, there's
or like, agree upon
like
something.
In 1 year, this is like the third time we've agreed on something. I think that was the first time I've said he's right.
But you look
on
at
camera.
Him.
On camera.
On camera. On camera. Anything else you want to add to him?
No, yeah, like you said, quality out of Peruvian. He's going to have a solid left foot for crossing in. Obviously, his touch is going to be good, so he's going to be expecting some balls up.
They're obviously going to be feeling.
Yeah, he's
like,
going to have
if
great
you watch
touch.
A little bit, it's soft touch, and I like that.
Yeah, you like that? That South American is going to bring that bit of finesse that we need to see in the game, because that's what makes a game beautiful, really. Let's go over to strikers here.
It's my
favorite position.
Wow, you're just like jumping back and forth.
I mean, just the way you took your notes, man. Top five strikers selected by the Campio.ca. Marcus Haber, Pacific. Tomi Amiobi, FC Edmonton. Michael Cox, York 9. Jordan Brown, Cavalry. Luis Alberto Perea from Wanderers.
Dan, give me the floor. I believe I saw this guy play on the weekend, Jordan Brown. If you have not seen Jordan Brown play, I'm telling you now, find clips, watch this guy. He is a beast. Born and raised English boy. He's only 22 years old. He's got a lot to grow. There's so much more for this kid to learn, but there's so much this child, and I can say that because I'm older than he is, has learned throughout his career playing. Honestly, I got goosebumps right now talking about this guy. But I know he came to the Calvary for, you know, hit that refresh button. You know, he needed to figure out exactly where he was. He knows he has the talent, and that's why I'm choosing him. But he needed to hit reset and kind of refresh everything and build his career from here. He knows he needs to have a stellar season here in Calvary, and I guarantee he's going to move somewhere next year. But this is a player to watch out for. He's my striker to pick.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Czechoslovakia. He played Bundesliga reserve system, but West Ham Academy product.
Yeah.
So good English boy, solid nuisance.
Yeah.
Grabbing Kareem
Which is amazing.
Legs. I didn't know. I thought he was a little older than 22, to be honest. But
who's your pick?
I should pick a Canadian.
Why? You don't need to pick.
I know, and I'm not going to, because I gotta agree with you again. Another ticker. Ding.
Seriously? Agree.
Yeah, Jordan Brown. I think he's gonna be that guy that's gonna be here's the tour. I could almost say throw Malanga into this one, and I take both of them side by side strikers.
Put Can you
two.
Imagine?
Jesus Christ, these guys would just be menaces. Both big boys. So I could almost say I think the two front guys to watch are going to be the two Cavalry guys. They're going to be monsters. Tomi Amiobi is going to be quality, but he hasn't been in a bit, and he's getting up there in age, so he's got something to prove, I think, 30 years old. Marcus Haber, again, another guy that's got a huge upside potential to him, but got a lot
and
to prove.
And that's the thing. I was, like, talking about it. I was, like, contemplating when I was going through my notes. I'm like, Haber's another one. But just being able to understand and get a lot of my facts from watching the game on Saturday really enlightened me, made me understand who Jordan Brown is. I'm sticking with Jordan Brown.
Yeah, Halifax's Pereira's good. He's played in Chile, Peru, El Salvador, the Colombian. 32 years old, though, up there in age. So some of these younger guys, you know, you get Kareem Moses a little younger. He's a big boy, putting pressure on some of the older guys. They're gonna sweat a little bit more, I think, yeah.
There you go, Calvary. I picked a Calvary player.
I think that's the first time. No, it's not. But Calvary, I would say both of their strikers, watch out. Jordan Brown and Donovan Malanga. Keep a lookout for those two guys.
I'm cool with that.
So yeah, really, that's it for the strikers. That's it for the predictions. I think they're pretty bang on. It's Campio.ca for saying they're who they are. I heard a lot of talks about Carducci being one of the. I heard he was the second number. There's two keepers to watch that are going to be the top, top. Carducci is going to be one of the guys, 22 years old, or 23 years old. Lots of upside. Quality keeper. Uh-huh. Him and John Salvo is going to be working for that spot this year.
It's going to be a tough one between both of them. We saw them each play first half, second half of the friendly this weekend as well. So I'm not going to pick one keeper over the other right now. But
yeah, it's hard to say. That's the thing is, they're both a good quality upside. They're both going to be pushing each other all year
until exhibition starts. It's tough to even call it.
Yeah, and now the boys head out to Dominican right after the kit reveal. So Friday the boys will be up there. We've got a couple exhibition games. Looks like the be kind of sorting out everything there and yep. Some media stuff, courtesy of Media Pro. And then the boys are back in town, and then it's a week, and we got some proper football. Mm-hmm. So those of you that are watching and don't know about, they just released every club today, released the, you can buy single seats.
Correct.
So get out there, tickets are available now, so get out there, get some tickets. People are complaining about the price tag, and they're complaining about this and the cost of blah. And then when the kits come out, people are going to complain about the price of the kits. You know what? You guys want a league in Canada, and you want it to be sustainable. You got to pay a little bit. You got to pay to play.
You have no choice.
You got to pay to play.
To support your city, to support your town, it doesn't matter what way you want to look at it. There has to be money behind it.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't look at it and being like everything needs to be at a discounted price. Want to see big players. I want to see big players. How do you get big players on that pitch so you can sit in the stands and watch them?
Yeah.
That is making sure that we do our part to make sure that we pay for our tickets, pay for our kits, and be out there to support them as loud as we can. That's all I have to say. I don't want to get involved, and I don't want to get...
No. Yeah, you don't want to add into, like...
But at the same time, we want to see a style that is needed here in Canada. We need to see... This happened. And the only way that's going to happen is, of course, everybody backs and puts some money behind it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. This is going to, it's going to fly, or it's going to die on the backs of us, the supporters. So the same guys that are going to, the ones that complain about the ticket pricing being too expensive are the same guys that are going to complain about the quality not being good enough in Canada. So, I mean, it's got to start. It's got to come somewhere. And we see it now. There's better quality than what I expected and anticipated, to be honest.
Correct.
Out of some of the teams. So, very surprised by some of the picks. But get out there, support, buy your tickets, go to the games, go to the events, check these guys out, because these guys are, players are quality, they're legit guys. All good character guys by the sounds of it, and every team has them. Get out in your city and support and start building this thing, because this is coming from us. If it wasn't for us fans, we would have nothing.
And going back to the kit reveal, just put one more thing out there. If you are money conscious, which we all are, especially if you live in Alberta. But anyways, all I'm trying to say is the kits may be plain Jane. So if you got a shirt that's like the same color, wear it.
Yeah, wear it. Go buy a t-shirt. You could go buy a t-shirt for 15, 20 bucks, and you can wear that as well. Or just dig out a red t-shirt, go drink some beers, watch the game.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, because this is ours, and it's finally going to be here.
What else you got?
Nada.
No?
I think on that note, we've talked your ears off enough, talked about everything we needed to talk about. Anything you want to add?
Honestly, the only thing I need to add is thank you for the support. Like, share, comment, please. Subscribe. Check us out. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. We're on,
everywhere.
I don't even know where to start and where to end. So we're everywhere. Please support. And thank you for the support so far.
Yeah, it's been awesome so far. And remember, sometimes we talk banter. So we're not uneducated. We just say things to get a rise out of you. But, thanks again for tuning in. Like Harry said, subscribe, watch everywhere. Look, see us. You see us at the games. Say what's up.
I love talking to people. I like taking pictures. And I like talking nonsense.
If anybody likes to talk nonsense, it's this guy right here. Well, no, don't.
Let's get out of here.
Thanks again. Check 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah.